BG, you know what we talked about this last show? Brian's projection. Yeah. Brian's really good at projecting. Are you too?
I'm incredibly good at projecting.
Yeah, you are. You are.
In fact, I feel like I'm in the minor leagues compared to how you roll.
Go on.
Well, because I think you've shared your projection-isms. Because you think
Jesus
that...
Jesus Christ.
Because of how you are, everyone's like you.
No, I don't. And that's the misnomer with the whole thing. How did I know?
How did I know what? That this would be...
Okay. I think where you get confused, yes, I project. I'm not going to dodge that bullet. I project. The difference is that I don't put anything past people.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
I live in accordance to people are capable of anything at any time.
That's his, like, mantra.
Yeah, but wait a second.
Give an example to Robert just to drive it home. And if you could please use the example you typically use.
Okay.
You wouldn't put it past me that I wouldn't steal your mail.
I wouldn't put that past you.
Right.
It's not that you did it that is of any concern to me.
Right.
It's why. Because that's where things really get interesting.
Is why I stole your mail.
Yeah.
Now, but the question is, I don't see how this applies to projecting. Is there a fear? You know what I'm saying? Just in this example.
Because... I know myself to be capable of things in moments that...
So you might have stolen my mail.
Right.
Or you might
need to steal your mail someday.
Okay. So then you would look at me and be like, you totally probably stole my mail.
Yeah.
No.
Is that projecting?
Well,
no.
The thing is, Graham grew up with a set of circumstances. And by the way, we're talking to my oldest friend.
Yeah.
Well, you're not like old.
First of all, this is a terrible show.
It is.
The guest wasn't introduced.
Oh yeah.
Are we going to start
the show?
Let's introduce the show.
It's busted.
Second of
this
all,
this is typical for Brian. Brian.
We just started talking.
No,
we
didn't.
Talking.
It's Brian's job to introduce the show and the guests. I'm sorry, Brian.
Can we start over?
Let's start over.
All right, here we go.
We're gonna start fresh. It's Monday. We're starting fresh. Nice and early.
No, it's not Monday, Brian. It's Thursday.
Yeah. Okay. Cue the music, Robert.
There is no fucking music.
Music
it's already,
already
played
rolled
about 10
a
minutes
long
ago,
time
when
ago
when the show started.
All right. Just roll it back, the music a little bit.
There's no Should rolling
I go
anything back,
back behind this curtain and walk out and make an entrance?
Yeah.
Let's do that again.
We'll play a trumpet. Oh, I just crushed one of my nuts. You know when you like have your like legs crossed?
That's not making the show any better.
You know what? I was actually grateful the other day that I had a twinge of that about to happen. And there was a fundamental shift that took place.
Ooh.
That saved the day.
Where it went one Whoop. On top of another.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Oh,
it was
God.
A near miss.
Saved the day.
Or a near hit, maybe.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Shide Show.
All right. We did it.
My name is Brian Gerard. I am, as always, alongside Gregory Hoyt.
Good evening, ladies.
And Robert Shide.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
With today's very special guest... A very old, old, old friend of Gregory Hoyt.
Oh, he sounds very ancient.
He is an old man.
Okay.
He's not an old man. It sounds weird when you're saying an old friend.
An old friend.
A friend from when I was...
He said
how
old four
three?
Times.
How old were you?
Somewhere in the
two
three,
or three or four.
A friend from the old country.
What?
Okay.
You're from England.
Italy.
Ingley.
Who is it, Brian?
By
Ladies
way
and gentlemen,
of Ireland.
Welcome to the show, Graham Swarsa.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Woo!
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Where have you been? Why haven't you made it on the show before?
What are we, on 119 shows?
173.
Somewhere
How
around
How many
there.
Shows is it?
182.
Because I think last week you had your 100th show.
Well, a couple weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and nice that's try. When it occurred to me that I had not been on the show.
That's right. Mm. We had a whole event. Did you go to the event?
Yeah,
you
did.
Did.
We had a big
well,
event.
I was a little late.
There's a fist fight as you walk through the door.
I walked into Greg Hoyt in a fist fight.
Wait, whoa. I'm sorry.
You left early.
I did leave before the fist fight, but I didn't. I left fairly late, I feel.
In typical Shide Show fashion,
yeah.
Once we came down after celebrating our 100th birthday, the party rolled out.
Yeah.
A lot of people started rolling in. The DJ pumped up the music. Libations were flowing.
No doubt.
And Greg Hoyt starts throwing fists.
One thing I can count
I was,
on.
I was accosted.
Two things I can count on. Is Robert Scheid being the glue in the operation that's going to hold some sense of order in the room.
Yep.
When he leaves, that's gone. Yeah.
That's
what's
one
the thing. Second thing?
Second thing, I can count on my friend Greg Hoyt. If things begin to get out of order, he will ensure they stay on that path.
Going
on. Staying on the path of totally out of order.
Out of order.
Can you please describe what you saw when you came in?
Well, I walked in.
What time was it?
And this is something that I could only do with a very old friend.
Yeah.
I walked in the door.
Yeah.
I looked over. I made eye contact with Greg. I put my finger in the air.
Uh-huh.
Like a number one.
Like a number one. Yeah. And I pointed to the back of the room and kept walking.
Now, wait. When you walk in, though, you see him in a fight and you just do that?
Well,
or no?
That hadn't for all I knew, yet. He was dancing.
Oh, God. Good. It's a beautiful descriptor of Greg's fighting style.
it's a mess.
It's like West Side were, Story.
Right, yeah, right.
Okay, go ahead.
We have similar dancing styles, so I think, you know, when I dance, I'm fighting myself. I didn't see the other guy.
All right.
So I walked to the back of the room.
Yeah.
And I get a beer, which is why I was there.
Right.
And didn't go over to say hi.
Yeah.
Then I walk back up to the front looking for Greg when a fight breaks out to my right.
Wow. Okay.
And I look, and there's a guy just having the windmill occur on his face on a couch next to me. And then I look, and Greg starts walking over saying, "That's the guy." And he's just pointing at this guy. That's the guy that I almost just beat up. And he's looking for a fight. And
While he is being windmilled by somebody
right,
else.
Yeah. This is typical. And Graham can attest to this. If I go to a party, typically somebody wants to fight me. And I really honestly don't know why, but it's always been the case. And I was dancing with a friend of mine, this girl, Melissa.
Yeah.
And Melissa, like, this drunk guy came over and, like, just bumped into Melissa. Melissa's like this firecracker. What do we call her? A cherry bomb. She's like a cherry bomb.
A cherry bomb is a perfect.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, ready to go off.
Right.
And this kid bumped into her, and this is one of those drunk assholes that you're just like, steer clear.
Right.
And she's like, "Motherfucker, what you doing?" And I'm like, oh, God. And, of course, then he just immediately comes over to me and gets in my face. And, I'm really good at diffusing these situations now. Because
pause for 1 second. Is that true?
No.
Now. Maybe.
No. He's very good at...
Hey, is my shaving thing still on or did it fall
bleeding.
Off? It's
bleeding.
Yeah, I cut my face.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I cut my face.
Greg, I can count on Greg to have done this to this gentleman.
Okay.
This guy's looking for a fight, and he turns and looks at Greg and gets in his face. I can count on Greg to square his shoulders, stand tall, and arch his neck as if he's looking down at him.
Even if the person is his same height?
It doesn't matter. As if to posture and say, "I will fucking kill you right now."
Right.
And
people
believe that.
Yeah, they do.
This guy, did he believe it?
He did believe it.
Did he back off?
Yes.
The important thing here is that I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You do believe that, don't
you? I do believe that.
You said you've gone on record in saying that I'm the most dangerous man that you know. Right?
I wouldn't put anything past him.
There it is. Again, it comes right back to anything past.
Okay, so explain to me. So, Greg, you didn't actually have any physical altercation?
No, I didn't have to.
Have you ever? Has it ever led to you throwing?
Oh, yeah. Back in the college days, we were...
Well, he used to... that's how it used to be on the high school.
Yeah. We were always like...
Did you do that? Were you involved in the rock battles?
Oh, yeah.
The rock throwing?
Graham... Oh, my God. Graham had the epic rock battle or rock incident of all time.
Oh, my God.
We were out at recess. We all know what recess is.
Yeah, the time to live or die.
Time to throw rocks.
Yeah, time to throw rocks. Now, we used to have these epic rock wars that I've mentioned on the show.
Right.
And these were like real deal where you would be throwing giant rocks and you would square off and it'd be in the woods And like our recess area was also woods that were sanctioned for us to be in, which was crazy. Yeah,
that's insane.
And we would have these full-on rock battles.
So there are trees and everywhere. It's not just like a paved area.
Yep. And you would hide behind stumps, and you could hear the rocks like literally whizzing by your head. Like,
now, the important thing here is that it was an escalation. It started with tennis balls.
Yeah.
Escalated to baseballs, because tennis balls, the stakes weren't high enough anymore.
Apparently not, right.
Then people were cutting tennis balls open and stuff.
Oh, well, you're talking about suicide.
Yeah, well, suicide. But rocks, too. Yeah. So we went through a fruit stage where they would give, recess came after lunch, and they'd give apples and oranges. So we would all save our fruit and go outside and throw it as high in the air as we possibly could into a crowd. And then just wait for the fallout to see who...
God.
Came out of the crowd holding their head.
Yep.
And sometimes they ended up in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Where the teachers parked their cars.
Oh, and wow. So this is the escalation. Everything was escalation.
Of course.
Escalation with us and our group of friends. And so one day at the end of recess.
Yeah.
And this is when we're in middle school and my dad's the vice principal.
Oh, God.
And I'm under threat of physical violence every day, all day, because my dad's the heavy.
Sure.
And giving everyone detentions.
Did he see you walking around school and stuff and give you an eye?
Dude, he was out and about all day long.
Wow.
I love the way you've crafted your language that you were under physical threat constantly because your dad was the heavy.
Yeah.
Is that real? How real is that?
In middle school, it's real. It's real as real gets, because when you're in sixth grade, an eighth grader might as well be in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might as well be an adult male. And it was a small school, too. So it wasn't like there was any sort of anonymity.
Sure.
Everybody knew that my dad was my dad.
Right.
And even my friends kind of got more of a benefit.
Yeah.
Because
I definitely benefited.
Graham benefited.
You did. Were they totally nice to you?
Absolutely. Anytime I got in trouble, it was, I got to fly under the radar because they weren't my parents. But at the same time, anytime I got in trouble, they took my side.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this one rock incident.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me if that happened then.
Oh, God. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Well, the rock incident actually caught me off surprise because it wasn't something that I intentionally did.
Hmm.
It's partially true. We were playing basketball, and I personally don't play basketball. I'm not good at it. I don't like it.
Okay.
So I got distracted. I got bored.
Huh.
So I looked down and I kicked around this rock a little bit and I picked it up and I just turned over my shoulder and threw it as high as I possibly could.
This is right as recess is ending.
Uh-huh.
Like, I can remember watching Graham do this as we're like wrapping up the game and starting to walk inside.
Yeah.
And he does this like low sort of sidearm, but straight in the air, fucking chuck.
Behind him.
Behind him. All the teachers' cars are parked.
Oh, Jesus.
Towards the parking lot. This isn't directly towards the parking lot.
This is brilliant.
Right into the parking lot.
Oh, God.
And one of our teachers' windows immediately shatters.
Just goes.
Goes fully out and fills the car with glass.
Oh, my God.
And does the gunshot.
My stomach was in my throat. I turned. I blended into the crowd.
Criminal.
Just keep walking. Just head down.
And we all walked.
I ran between Greg and our other friend Chris or something.
Yeah.
Stole the ball for the first time in the whole game.
Yeah.
Dribbled the ball and went up for a layup.
Pretending I'm playing basketball.
Yeah. I was in the middle of a play. How could I have thrown the
ball? I was just right. And then so we all got... it felt like... hours.
Yeah.
For a minute, it was like everything went slow motion, and then all of a sudden they started calling us in. And everyone's like, oh, okay, recess is over. But I knew that the group of teachers around this car knew what had happened, and they were ending recess to bring everybody in to call some sort of order to the situation.
Yeah.
How many, by the way, just so I can get a perspective on this, how many students are we talking are usually out there? I mean, is it like hundreds?
100.
Yeah.
About 100.
150.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. So the recess is ended early.
Yeah.
Or it's over.
And we're brought into
Judgment Day.
Not the auditorium, was it the gym?
The gym. We all get corralled into the gym.
Which is not normal because usually you just go back to your classes.
Right.
And we're just like, fuck.
And I was on a full campaign to let everybody know that I was playing basketball.
Yeah. Sure. Turn everybody. What a great game, man.
Great game.
Good game. God.
Did you see that layup I had right about the moment with that window went out?
Yeah.
That was a good layup.
So they call us all in, and it's total fear factor time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way. There's no way anybody's going to know. And all of a sudden, Greg's dad, after this really stern talk that I don't even know if I could recreate, it's like...
My dad, by the way, it's my father in front of this whole... Like, every day, this is my life. My dad yelling and giving these insane speeches
the fact
to
that
my
anybody would do this, how, like,
you should be ashamed of yourself. Come forward right now.
The person who did this, he's basically giving an opportunity for somebody to admit that they...
It doesn't sound like an opportunity. It's more of an ultimatum. Nobody's leaving until whoever did it
made him. Right.
steps forward in front of everyone. So, this is not something you can do under the cloak of secrecy.
This is fucking right now. It's happening now.
And I was thinking, all right, I'm going to ride this out until he pulls the rock out of his pocket and he goes... We have the rock, and we'll fingerprint it if we have it.
Oh, my God.
So that was your game plan. I'm going to wait till DNA evidence gets introduced.
And I'm thinking, oh, my God.
Can they DNA?
Wait, they can't do that. Well, he's totally touching it right now. No, they can't do that.
Criminal. Yeah.
This is what all kids, they go through. They hear fingerprints. And they think it's going to happen.
Yep.
Wow.
So then part of me is terrified.
Yeah.
And the other part of me is like, this is going to get interesting because I'm not going up there. So how long are they really going to keep us here?
Right.
How long are we really going to be in this gym?
Because you know you're not going up there and no one else is. Everyone else is like, I didn't even know what you're talking about.
What happened?
I didn't even know what happened.
How many people saw you do it?
Probably
do you think?
Three.
Just
me,
three.
Probably me, Chris Cox, and maybe Bilodeau.
Tops. Three people tops.
And these were all the people playing basketball. Okay.
But nobody else was like, Graham Sorsa did it.
Right. No, I'm just saying, like, I want to know what the potential was for somebody to yell that out.
Yeah.
That would have been weird.
It wouldn't have happened because we were just like, we didn't do it, so it wasn't our fingerprints. Yeah. We just got to be plausible deniability.
Okay. Go ahead. So,
I don't even know where it went. I think
they dismissed us. I think they started blaming Eric Povichok and Jay Wilkins.
Right.
Are these notorious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The one black kid in our class.
Oh no!
And then the one kid from Revere.
Oh God!
Or was he from Revere or
from
Walpole? Malden.
So you guys full on embrace into a class and race warfare.
Well, I mean, it was
you're
not our doing.
It.
Like, it was not our doing.
This is what movies are made of. It's like the kid who the one time he doesn't f up, the blame gets put on him anyway.
Right. Well, but these kids had set the tone for themselves.
Well, they had.
Now it's their fault.
It's their fault. What's going on?
I'm just saying.
Graham has talked about how he threw the rock, but now here we are constructing the story of being like, these guys probably deserved the blame. Anyway.
All right. So people start trickling out. The blame seems to be focused on these two unfortunate souls who are probably vehemently denying that they did this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Throwing fits.
I'm sure.
Like, we didn't do it. We didn't. So,
fucking bullshit. Eric Povichok was the scapegoat for so much stuff.
All right.
And I may have been called in and questioned.
Yeah, I think
I think people had been talking, but it wasn't me.
No.
Graham wouldn't do that.
Graham wouldn't do that.
And again, because we were, best buds, he definitely got a pass. I mean...
Right. The interesting thing about this story is that it stayed with us for, forever, but... The teacher whose car it was, Patty, also named Patty, like Greg's mom, Patty, they're friends.
And they're good friends.
We ran into them later in life at your parents' anniversary,
30th
maybe?
Wedding anniversary, was
something
it?
Like that.
Yeah.
And I got to share this story with this teacher.
Because it was her car.
Oh my God. I was the one. And she goes, you motherfucker. I was leaving the next day to go to Florida on vacation, and because my window got broken, she had to put a bag over it or something and tape
like
it and go away on vacation.
Hassle.
It was this big hassle that now she's going to be out of town and her car has no window. But she got to laugh about it, and I really appreciated that about her. She had a good sense of humor, and
we got 5 years later.
We got to clear it up.
Hold on. I got a lot of questions.
Yeah, and I want to know, like, what happened to the other kid, the kid who got blamed at one time.
Well, it's, you know, he probably got a few detentions or something.
No, where is he now?
Jail.
Probably jail.
Oh, okay.
Do you, for real?
No, I don't know.
You don't know where he is?
Okay.
That's not fair to say, really.
And that's a tough. And the reason why I ask that is because growing up, we all have those guys that always were those guys. And a couple of those cats that I remember of my youth are no longer on this planet.
Mm-hmm. There are a few of those,
There are a few of those, too. Yeah.
Wow.
There are a few people from our era that are off the earth.
I've never been on the side of knowing for a fact of the person's innocence, though. I've never been on that side.
Well, but this stuff, I don't know, guys.
What do you mean?
Like where we did something, Robert did something.
If a guy has been, like, blamed and placed on him, but I know, hands down, he didn't do it. I just don't know. But that guy's got, like, you know, a sordid reputation because of everything else that he was accused of doing.
I had one thing happen where my dad gave me a pass. I punched Rennie McKinney in the face.
Oh, God.
And a teacher was watching out the window of the school.
Oh, my God.
And it was at, like, right out in front of the middle school, and I just punched him in the face.
Okay.
And my dad was like, I had to go back into school. It was after school. I had to go back into school because the teacher came out and was like, you have to go to the office.
Yeah.
And I just was like, to my dad, I'm like, I didn't punch him in the face. It wasn't me. And just fucking denied it.
Wow.
And he was like, all right, get out of here. Go meet me in the car. I mean, he was like my rival. You know what I mean?
crazy.
There were a couple great instances in school when teachers really just take your side.
Yeah.
It's incredible when it happens, too.
Because you're getting a little win.
Completely unexpected.
Because
you just expect that you're in trouble.
So this incident fully floated away. And at what point? Was that the point years later when you finally broached it to that teacher?
Years.
In that gym, that's the next time you guys talked about it. Was that
Well, we talked about
well,
it.
Well, we always talked about it, but
it was just one of
this
many.
This teacher, it was probably about 15 years later that we told her.
Yeah.
Did it curtail your rock hobbies?
Behavior? No. That was we were just starting the suicide wars there.
Yeah,
because I would imagine that you were were you a little more careful in the direction in which you hurled your stones?
No. I mean, maybe a little bit, but like cut to 10 years, no, 6 years later, and we're in college, and I'm grabbing pool balls off of pool tables and going out into bar parking lots and throwing 6 pool balls as high as I can out into the parking lot.
Yeah.
Where is this?
And cut to 10 years after that, and Greg's teeing up a golf ball in the Hollywood Hills, launching them into neighborhoods at 30 years old.
Yeah.
Cut to last week, and he is almost windmilling a guy in the face.
Cut to the bar scene. I'm still
The
edge.
As you get older, things get far removed, but not really.
Yeah.
Would you say the same for you, though, Graham?
Yeah, absolutely. We just steer it in different directions. I mean, when I was little, we had this big water balloon launcher, one of those big rubber water balloon launchers.
Yeah, like a ginormous shot.
They called it a kazorch.
And you have to have one person on each end.
College, that thing ended up on the roof of our apartment building, firing cans of beans out into the neighborhood.
Beans.
Full cans.
That's dynamite.
Yeah. Boom. That would drop someone.
When that would hit a roof, it was like
boom!
Like a bomb.
Oh my God!
Graham and I grew up in
a war zone.
Something of a war zone.
You were in Ireland.
You know what it is?
We were surrounded by a lot of guys that had the same mentality as we did, and we fed it. We fed each other. We had about 5 friends that were all. We were all really tight, and we just fed the fire.
Yeah. And it was. It was ridiculousness. I mean, there was just no consequences. That's really what it was. None of us really had
privileged white dudes. Typical story.
Brian, why do you always have to make... Something tells me there's a little bit of something in you.
Exactly.
Well, we grew up very different, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah?
Very different.
Oh, really?
They're very different.
Worcester is the really...
It's a little tougher.
Tough swing.
I want to know how your dad took the news. How many years later was it that same 15 years?
He didn't give a shit. He did it. He was like, it was a dog and pony show.
This is your dad.
My dad.
He had to do
vice principal. He's like, I had to do the.
But when did he finally find out?
Probably then.
That night.
Because there's shit that happened in my childhood, like circumstances and events that still have the veil over them. I don't
Well,
think-
but this is... See, the thing that's good about where Graham and I are at now is that I think we had a lot of veils on a lot of stuff for a long time because a lot of really bad shit happened. We did a lot of kind of bad shit. Mm-hmm. And there was stuff that... We also were lucky because we came up pre-9/11. A lot of the stuff that we were a part of and did post-9/11 would have been a much bigger deal.
Zero tolerance.
Yeah. I think that even now today, it's a very different grammar school, middle school for sure, and high schools are so different.
They're like
now.
Jails now. They're like locked down and like
post 9/11 high school experience.
You can't light fires anymore.
Yeah.
In public places.
You can't make bombs.
You can't make bombs.
I mean, we were doing bad stuff like that.
Hang on. Now, you're not really allowed to do that.
Even
like
then
either.
No, we're not.
What did
no
you like?
Well,
did you set little fires in the middle school for recess?
Mm-hmm. We were pyromaniacs. We were setting fires everywhere.
Yeah.
But when we were in science class, when we were learning about electrical circuits, yes. We took, you know, everybody gets their personal, one of those little like 9 or 12 volt batteries that's about the size of a coffee cup.
Yeah. Do you have a little switch?
And you get a switch and a little light bulb and a wire.
Yeah.
Well, we had this secret language that we could talk with our eyes, and we would just kind of like look around the room and make eyes with each other.
Yeah.
And know what the other was thinking. So then, you know, I'd look over at Greg.
Yeah.
And he'd go, okay. And then I'd look back at Seth and go, he'd go, okay. And the next thing I know, I'm surrounded by five of my friends and they're all putting their batteries on the table and we rigged them.
In circuit.
In circuit.
Yeah.
Together. I don't know if it's series or circuit.
It's probably in series.
Whatever,
in series.
Whatever makes them compound.
Yeah.
And
we
series.
Got this light bulb burning so hot.
Oh, my God.
It was like, you know, five times the power that was supposed to be going through this light bulb. And it was just glowing red hot. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like then when the smoke starts to come up between
like,
the group.
Oh, shit.
It's then that the teacher runs over.
What are you doing?
And then it's play dumb time.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
I didn't know we couldn't put them in
right.
series.
No.
Right.
Hey,
so, you know, it's
you knew.
Just, you know, chemistry, forget it.
Yeah.
Oh, don't mix these.
Oh, okay, we'll mix them.
Yeah.
We should mix four times the amount then.
You were essentially the example that I got to hear about all the time in classes, you know, what not to do.
Yeah.
I remember the chemistry teacher saying, "Well, yeah, a student tried to stole magnesium, put it in his pocket and walked out of class." Later on in that day, the sweat from his leg ignited the magnesium, and he had a flame shooting out of his pocket by about 2 feet.
Yeah.
He also had third-degree burns on his leg.
Yeah. Right. No, that's me.
Yeah, okay.
We were lucky, though, because we did – like, we were lucky because, first of all, we lived through the stuff that we did.
Congratulations.
But we grew up on – like, we grew up in a really cool area of the world. We grew up in a town that was small enough so that we knew people – we grew up in a time where it was safe to be out and about, like, for days at a time. I mean, we used to, at probably 7 years old, were allowed to just go on our bikes and come home at sunset.
Mm. Like, when the streetlights went on is when we had that home.
Yeah. And I think that we were the last generation to have that experience.
They're not doing that now.
They're not even close doing that now. And why do you think it is? Because I think that, you know, it's easy for us to be like, well, we live in a different world post 9/11. But I think that started happening even prior to 9/11.
I think it's escalation of a lot of things. It's escalation of sharing of information and news.
Yeah.
Because there's so much information being shared now that people collect all of that information. So it's, you know, bad things can happen at the same frequency as they always did. But because the information is available, people collect it and catalog it as if it's real and happening simultaneously.
In their town. Yeah.
Well, the news is reporting. It's been shown that as crime rates drop, the news reports more crime.
Right.
Right.
So, people feel more afraid now than they did before.
It's the truth, and it is crazy because crime rates are lower, as low as they've ever been, but yet when you watch the news, you don't get the sense of that.
Right. I saw an interview with the Dalai Lama the other day, and Piers Morgan asked him, do you think it's a more peaceful world or a more violent world than when you were young? He's like, way more peaceful. And you don't think that. You certainly don't think that based on...
But he's also coming from an era when his fellow monks were all being murdered.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing I will say about the sharing of information is that you can't get away with anything anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, before,
but people are
you
still
could arrest
trying
them.
To. Syria, for example.
Yeah.
Where they're
yeah.
just like, well, I don't know what's going on. We have a ceasefire.
Yeah.
And then,
people
you know,
smoked
all day people are
camera.
Reporting, hey, this is happening, this is happening.
Yeah.
So
we were lucky. We were just lucky, I think.
I think drugs are different, too. I mean, there's so many prescription medications that, you know, we never get into that stuff. We just wanted to drink.
Yeah.
You know,
and maybe smoke a joint.
And I think parents are different. I think lawsuits parents...
and stuff, too. Like, back in the day, there wasn't that lawsuit contingent.
Oh, God, the litigiousness. Like, people just...
suing each other's parents because they were, my kid got drunk at your house and got a DUI, so I'm going to sue your parents or whatever.
Right.
Like,
we were
in a different era. Yeah. I mean, it was pre all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And thank God, because, I mean, there was a billion things that could have been a court case for us if that was...
I would imagine that most of your childhood, you would be a different experience if you guys were to try to relive that today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It would have been really boring.
Graham, we're only scratching the surface here with you.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there's so much that we could get into.
That. We've only danced on the floor.
We've hardly danced.
It looks like we were dancing, but we were probably fighting.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not quite sure.
It was dance fighting.
Oh, okay, good.
Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Graham Schwarzer, everyone.
Wow.
He'll be back. On behalf of Robert Scheid and Gregory Hoyt, I'm Brian Girard. We have a shot.
Yay!
And
gay.
I'd rather dance with you than talk with you. So why don't we just move into the other room? The space for us to shake and hear like this tune. Hear what you said.